Your church is dismissed, so we got something special for the kiddos next door. Rest you grab your Bibles, please. The book of Matthew, chapter 10. Matthew, chapter 10. And my goal is to finish off the chapters. We got a big chunk of scripture to kind of cover tonight, this morning. Man, I'm all out of sorts. But anyway, we start talking about in Matthew, chapter 10, how Jesus sent out his disciples, right? We talked about last week that there's a time as followers of Christ, right, where we learn and we experience life, we take all these things, yet we got to get off our duffs and start doing something, right? God has called us to serve, to be a part of what's going on. Unfortunately, you know, we're so used to, I think, in our lives, if you got one of these things, that we oftentimes become a spectator in life, you know? And you ever go to an event, and something's going on, and what do people do? They bring out their phone and watch it through the phone. It's right there. But we're watching it. We're so consumed and so narrowed that we sit back. I'm old enough to remember that as kids, you know, we'd go outside. It's tragic nowadays, right? You know, I mean, we get on our bikes. I mean, good thing DHS wasn't too active because my mom got charged with neglect. Because we'd get up in the morning, eat breakfast during the summer, my mom would pack us a lunch and tell us to be home for supper. And we'd off play in the woods and ride our bikes, and we'd meet up with the other kids, and, you know, we had a great time. And now kids are stuck on couches, on their phones. And we become so used to becoming spectators in life. God doesn't want us to be spectators. Church is more than just coming to be entertained. It's a place where we grow and learn and use those things that we've learned and put it into practice. So last week we looked at the first part of chapter 10, that we're sent out, right? And as we're sent out with God's limit. Once again, God hasn't called you to do everything. God has called you to do your part. And I don't know if you're like me, sometimes you're overwhelmed because there's so much to be done, you don't do anything. And God hasn't called you to do everything. God has called you to do your thing. You say, what is my thing? I don't know. Right? I'm working on my thing. But as you search him out, God will show you what he wants from you. We're limited with God's message. The kingdom of God is at hand. The Lord's returning. Then here, repent, for the days are at hand. To live your life unto him. We're God's provision. God will provide. Right? And I don't know about you. You know, you get the fuel bill now and pay at the pump. And if anyone has a diesel vehicle, my prayer goes really out for you, because that's all. And you're like, oh, how's this all going to happen? And, okay, Lord, you know, we got our budget coming up. And we turn around and say, hey, you know what? Our budget is going to increase. Lord, where is this going to come from? And I believe if we do God's work God's way, he will provide. We got to say, God, you're gonna pull this together. And we've seen him do that as we are faithful to him. And when we're sent out with God's blessing, that part of this is God blesses me, that I'm not just supposed to be hoarding it. Right? Oh, look what God done for me. It's all about me. No, God has blessed me to share with others. Right? As God blesses me, that gives me an opportunity to share that blessing to those around me. And we see those playing out in Matthew chapter 10. But now we shift gears and we have the second half of chapter 10. Right? He sends them out and tells them, okay, you guys are going out and this is what's going with you. He goes, but now I'm sending you out, and this is what I'm sending you out to. Right? You go off into the world. And what do we see? I remember years ago, I was at a city mission. And if you've ever been in a situation like that, it was part of Bible school that we were at. And we would go up to Rochester, New York, and we'd go down to the city mission. And you've ever been down there? I remember the first time, it was kind of a scary place. And in there, the deal was people would come in off the streets and homeless and whatever the situation. There's no questions asked. But you sat through a message, and then you'd have food. And
the gentleman who was in charge of me told me, he goes, look, there's one thing you need to keep in mind. He goes, you are between the people and their food. Don't go over. So you learn really quick because you get longer than the half hour allotted time and people are like, I'm hungry. Well, I'm moving along.
But we'd go there, and one thing I found with these people, oftentimes they were down and out and struggling, but they were so honest. You know, so many times in churches that we all pretend that we're okay. You know, spend a little extra time in front of the mirror and hairspray and deodorant and make sure we come to church. And everyone thinks that we all have it all together. But oftentimes you find people who are struggling and are hurt in those situations, they got nothing to hide. But their honesty brings them to God. And so in here, the first time we went, and we were kind of warned of, you know, what the neighborhood was and what it was like. But one of the guys who came there, he came down and he goes, look, I want you, if anyone who wants to accept Christ, I want you to come forward. And he goes, I want you to take my hand as a prayer that you want God in your life. He goes, and if you do that, you'll never have another problem ever again. And I'm in back and I'm listening like, what? And so afterwards I talked to the gentleman. I was like, wait a minute. What you said isn't right. Becoming a Christian does not make your problems all go away. He goes, yeah, but once they accept the Lord works all that out. I'm like, you're giving them a false advertisement. And I think a lot of times, sometimes people come to God with these preconceived ideas and thinking I will never have any problems again, or I'll be healthy, wealthy, and wise, or God will bail me out of all these things. And we look at God as sort of this grand genie who's going to grant all these things. And then when people like say, oh, I want that, what we're doing is giving them a false God that they accept. Jesus doesn't do that. As he sends them out, look, he gives them full disclosure. Right? As we look through this chapter, Jesus doesn't hold back. You know, I found myself saying, look, if I was in a group of people and I was trying to encourage them off and serve me, I don't know if I would be as bold as Jesus did, because I'm like, you know, who would really want that? You know, I told you I didn't serve in the military. I did talk to an Air Force recruiter once and came pretty close to signing some papers, but I didn't. But back in the late 80s, when I was graduating, really late 80s, really, really late, 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 that the motto, if you remember the military, was, we do more before 4 a.m. than most people do all day. I was like, that's not a good, you know, no, you know. I want the, hey, we're the military. We're up at 2 a.m. and let you sleep till noon. I mean, that's where I was at. You know, but I thought it was interesting. We do more before 4 a.m. than most people do all day. No, as a young teenager, I wanted, you know, I hit the snooze. I was like, that doesn't sound like a good sales pitch to me. You know, imagine as Jesus is sharing these things. You know, someone would say, well, hold back. Don't be so honest. And yet Jesus tells us what to expect in this world. When we follow him, God isn't trying to bait and switch us. He lays it all out, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to go through this study of looking at the words of Jesus. What did Jesus himself say? And so many Christians don't even know what Jesus himself has said. And Jesus lays it all out. He goes, I'm going to send you out. And the first thing he talks about here, he says, I'm going to send you out as wolves. I'm going to send you out to wolves. I don't know about you. I've never met, well, actually, no, that's not true. I have met, years ago, I was working for Dish Network, and it was out in Rangeley. There was a gentleman I was installing Dish at, and he goes, are you afraid of dogs? I was like, no. He goes, okay, he goes, but stick close to me. And he had hybrids that were wolf shepherds. And, you know, because shepherds, you know, they'll bark and all. These guys don't. And these guys were sneaky. They'd walk around. They wanted to get behind you. It was like, just working away, like, I don't, you know, I probably look delicious, I don't know, but I was like, oh, I'm kind of afraid of wolves. Jesus says, I'm sending you out, Well, look what he says here, Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. He says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. And you will be brought before the governors and the kings for my sake, as a testimony to them, to the Gentiles." Right? I'm going to send you out as sheep in the wolves. And we see this in the world today. The hostility that we have in the world today. Right? In here, that because of my faith, because of what I stand, because I stand on the word of God, the hostility that comes my way. And he warns them, look, as you go out, he goes, they're going to take you and bring you before the authorities and accuse you of all types of things. I said, oh, that sounds pretty rough. Not only that, he says, look, they're going to bring you out and they're going to what? Scourge you. They're going to beat you for my name's sake. Folks, we need to realize, and we go down as Jesus unfolds this, that as we're seeing this sort of play out today, that really the world's philosophy and the biblical standard of what the Bible says are becoming totally incompatible. We live in a day and age where sin is called right. That we're accused of hate when we're trying to share the love of God to their lives. And he goes on, he says, look, but when they deliver you up, notice it doesn't say if, right? What's it say? When? And I think, you know, we've had it very easy in this country that I could be a Christian and, you know, my good citizen, if you will, right? Play along. But things are, I think, are accelerating so quickly that many of us are going to have to choose, am I going to choose the Bible or the world? And it will happen. He said, but when they deliver you up, what? Don't worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. And each one of these things, he gives sort of an encouragement, right? You're going out the wolves. Okay. A couple years ago, I went walking, and I walked out onto Route 1A and walked around Church Street. I just did the little loop there and got on the other side. And there's no lights on. Once you get a little past it, it's a big dark stretch. And I was walking through, and I heard a rustle, 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 rustle. And I'm a big guy, right? I'm big and brave. I was like, so I'm like, okay, so I'm walking faster. But then I'm like, well, don't walk fast because it'll chase you. So I don't know what it was. But there was some vicious critter, beast, living in the woods there. So I was like trying to act cool and all that. And so I started singing because you've heard me sing. That will scare anything away. You know, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Make the animals go away. Go away. And I was like, ah! And then Jesus says, look, as you go out in this world, right? Don't become fearful. Don't worry. This morning in Sunday school, I'll make a plug. 9 o'clock, we have a class next door. We're talking about end times. And actually, the question came out, it says, look, when we see all these things happen, shouldn't we, as Christians, be rejoicing? Because the Lord's coming back? Yeah. Don't worry as we see these things. Now look, I don't enjoy persecution. I don't like to be name called. I don't like all those things. But don't worry, because in here, Jesus is with me and he will give me the words. And he tells us to be wise and harmless. Wise and harmless. Right? Be smart about what we do. You know, it's funny. I remember when COVID first hit and I said, look, we don't need to be fearful, but we need to be wise. What's that mean? Right? That I don't have to be so scared that I can't do anything, but don't go around and lick doorknobs. Right? Be wise. And as we are in this world, right, our goal is not to be confrontational for the sake of confrontation. We're not the bullies. That, look, we'll never win anyone to the Lord by twisting their arm. Be wise. Learn when to zip it, when not to say something. Right? be wise to be harmless. And once again, we're not the judge. God's the judge. We're just delivering his message. And that's what he told the disciples. As you go out, deliver my message. And he says, look, my spirit will be with you. Right? That in here, he will give you the words to speak. And sometimes it's hard because, I don't know if you've noticed, actually it's funny, once again in Sunday school, I mentioned that traveling overseas, they say you can pick out Americans because Americans are loud. And I was accused of being loud, and the reply from the group was, you are loud. Imagine people saying I'm loud. I'm just a shy, bashful wallflower. And sometimes my mouth kicks into gear before my heart and brain process it. I know none of you have that problem. And sometimes I have the answer already even before they say anything, right? I'm just ready for the fight and all that. And I'm working on, Lord, you know what? Help me to shut up and let you speak through me. Lord, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to say? I go back and I think of a pastor who came into our room. There's a young lady in there. And he didn't know her, and the family asked if he would go talk to her. And he goes in and starts talking to her, and you can tell she was really troubled, and he goes, you know, she goes, what's wrong? And she goes, what would you say to a young lady who had an abortion last year? And that kind of took him back. He wasn't expecting that conversation to go that way. And he goes, Lord, I want your words. And he looked at her and goes, I would tell her that God loves her. And she broke down in tears. And that opened up a whole conversation. And there's a lot of things he could have said. But write that word, guess what? That's what she needed to hear. And God used that to open the door. So before you comment on Facebook, before you jump in, Lord, what do you want me to say? Give me the words to speak. And it's amazing how many times God will give you the gracious words to speak in a conversation, in a time. God is with you. And you believe that as we are being sent into this world. Take a look at here. He says, not only am I going to send you out as sheep to wolves, but I'm going to send you out and your family are going to betray you. I don't know how you stand with your family. I know if you come from a Christian family or a non-Christian family. But Matthew chapter 10, starting at verse 21, starts off. It says, now brother will deliver a brother to death, and father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated for all my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. And when they are persecuting you, flee to in the city. Flee to another. For assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. You know, family is one of those weird things. They can hurt us the most. I think part of us wants that acceptance of family, that place to belong. And yet sometimes because of our faith, because of our stance, that sometimes our own family, even here talks about father and child and talks about brothers against brothers, that in here the word of God, because I'm a Christian, because of my faith, because of my stance in him, that it will cause division between my own families. Now, I always kind of joke around. My family is all at least 1,200 miles away. I get along great with them. Right? Some of you have to deal with your family all the time. Right? And sometimes because of that, they won't let you outlive things that you have done. They won't let you move on. You're always going to be that person who did X. Remember that time? You know how families get together? And sometimes they're the ones who cause the most doubt in your life. And Jesus warns you that, look, by following him, by being his disciple, it can put a wedge between you and your family. And some of you maybe have experienced that already. And in here, he gives us a reminder. First one, God will save us. Right? He is our family. I love the scripture that Jesus says, look, I won't leave you orphanless, right? That fatherless, that he will be our father. Jesus told his disciples, he said, hey, your family's outside. And Jesus says, no. This is my family. These are my brothers. These are my sisters. You know, because of my family being so far away, and I've lived most of my life away from all them, that for me, the closest thing I have for family is actually right in this room. You are my family. You know, you're my aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters and grandmas and grandpas. But you're my family. And you went and you say, well, I don't know. You can't pick me tough. You know, that's why I love getting together with God's people. Because you're family. And because of the situation, maybe because you're believers and they're not, maybe you're closer to people within the church than you are your very own flesh and blood. And in here, God calls us and he wants us to be reassured that, look, you are going out and it's going to cause divisions in your family. But don't give up. And he says what? Keep going. Right? If someone rejects you, just move on. Right? If someone rejects the message, right? My job isn't to browbeat them and hit them over the head and make them, right? You know, when I was younger, I used to be a little more feisty. And now I had this idea that I would argue someone into heaven. Right? I used to love debate and I loved to argue and I would, right? So I really relished it. And then after a while, I found out, you know what? I was doing no good. Because you're not going to argue someone into heaven. And what I found is, you know what? If someone doesn't want to accept Christ, okay, Lord, let me move on. Let me share it to someone else. Our job is not to save. Our job is to sow seeds. And keep going. And so when someone rejects your message, look, I want to reassure you, they're not rejecting you. We'll get into that in just a little bit. You haven't failed if someone doesn't get saved. If you've shared the message, you've done your job. The Bible says here that he sends us out to wolves. He sends that in here. He sends us out to a family that will betray us. He sends us out to liars. Matthew picks up again. It says, the disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple to be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, Beelzebub was just a term they used for Satan. What they did was, Jesus is doing these miracles. He's using it by the power of Satan. So they're lying about who Jesus is. How much more will they call those of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not make known. So whoever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the rooftops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do you not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Then in here, they wanted to reject Jesus, and so they made up stories. And actually, when Jesus was crucified, they brought in all these false witnesses to come in and lie about who Jesus is and what he said and raise up all these causes. In this world, you will be lied about. People will make up stories. They'll twist what you say. I was in a church, and there was a gentleman who cheated on his wife. And And it was a very small group of people who knew. And so
there's kind of a stir in the church. And so I went and talked to the family, and I told him, I said, look, you know,
what are you going to do? And he goes, look, too many people know my background. Him and his wife were trying to work things out. They're on the road to restoration. And he goes, you know, too many people know. He goes, we're going to leave and go to another church where no one knows. And I asked him, I said, look, which would you rather do? I said, you could go to another church where no one knows. And you can sit down and be anonymous, and you could do that. I said, or you could stay in a church where people know your sin and love you anyways. I said, you know what? That's an easy one for me. If you have a group of people who love you and know your shortcomings, you got something going. And I left there, and I thought we had worked some things out, and I got called into the deacons, and they're all mad. They said, did you tell so-and-so he could leave? I said, what? He goes, well, did you tell him that he could go to another church where no one knew him? I said, I did say that. He goes, why would you tell him to go somewhere else? I said, no, wait. Let me tell you the rest of the story. And so I teared the second half of my conversation. They're like, oh, they didn't tell us that. I was like, ooh, excuse me, while I pulled this knife out of my back. Right? That people will lie and twist to get what they want in this world. Don't be surprised about that. They did it to Jesus, right? They did it to the master. They'll do it about you. They'll twist your words. They'll say you said something you didn't. They'll throw things back in your face. Don't be surprised when that happens. But Jesus says this. He goes, but the truth will be revealed. That's what he talks about. Everything that's in secret will be opened. There will be a day when the truth comes out. There'll be a day when their cases are pled and their lies will be revealed. It will happen. Now, I can't promise you it's tomorrow or in this lifetime, but there will be a day. And he encourages the disciples, look, as you go out, people are going to lie and distort and say all kinds of things against you. Shake it off. Because God knows. He knows the truth. And that day it will be revealed. And then he wraps things up. He talks about a sparrow being sold for a copper coin. And the point of all that is look, you in this world, you are of great value to God. You are his son, you are his daughter, and he loves you. And as we're in this world, as we're in this conflict, we see all this being bombarded around us, don't ever forget, God has his eye on you. And he knows what you're going through. The Bible tells us to come to him with these things. Right? Have you ever had a friend betray you? Guess what? Jesus has been there, and he knows. Have people twist what you say? Jesus knows. He's been there. Has anyone forsaken you? Guess what? Jesus knows what that's like too. That's why the book of Hebrews tells us to come before him, because we have a high priest who knows what we're going through, because he's been there. And the road that he is on, we can go through as well. But that's not the end of the road. The right end of the road is him. And you are of great value to him. And the last one here. We're sent out as wolves. We're sent out with family and cause problems there. We're sent out to people who will lie and distort about us. And we're being sent out to a world that's incompatible with the word of God. Look what he says here. It says, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think I come to bring peace on earth. I do not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Folks, we cannot live our lives for the acceptance of this world. Because they won't. Now, if we compromise and don't stand on God's word, then maybe we'll blend in and we'll fit in. But by very nature, he tells us, look, Jesus is going to be that divisive thing in a lot of our relationships. There are people who will hate you just because you say you're a Christian, without you having to say or do anything. And they will reject your message. But Jesus says, don't worry about that. We are called to serve and love and care and reach this world, no matter what they say about us. And the tribulation we go through and the divisions that have come on, we need to realize something. At the end of the day, because I have Christ, because I serve him and I love him, that in here there's a real life that is gained, true life in him. Jesus talks about this idea of a pearl of great price. There's a gentleman who went out and he found a pearl of great price, and he sold everything he had to get that one pearl. It was worth it all. It was worth the sacrifice. You know, this is graduation time. And I remember I was in high school, and it was funny because, you know, after, you know, 12 years of working and coming close, I remember saying, Lord, don't come back yet until after graduation. Let me get my diploma. You know. How silly that is. But I worked so hard. I wanted that piece of paper. It is worth it all. And Jesus says here, listen, don't deny me to fit in. Stand on your faith. Stand on him. You know, when I was in high school, my senior year, I went to a Christian school because I thought it looked good on my college resume. That's a good reason. And I remember going out, and I went to Woodcrest Baptist Academy was the name of the school. So people would ask where I went to school, and I'd say, Woodcrest Academy. I dropped the Baptist because I didn't want people to know it was a Christian school. I just wanted to know I went to an academy. Ooh. And so, you know, I tell them, you know, I'm going to a private school, and that sounded all snooty. And but I didn't want anyone to know I went to a Baptist school. Years later, that really bothered me. Because I was afraid if someone knew that I was religious, that they would ostracize me, I wouldn't fit in, and wouldn't be so cool anymore. Because you can tell by looking at me how important being cool is. And I found myself one night on my knees before the Lord and said, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm ashamed of you. By my actions, by my words, I wasn't living what I said I believed. I didn't want people to know that I was a Christian because they would think I'm something. Emery is weeping before the Lord, and God, you have done so much for me. You gave up your son for me. You've accepted me, warts and all, shed your blood to forgive me of my sins, and now you're preparing a place for me in glory, and I can't take a little bit of heat because of what someone might say or think about me, and I deny my faith. But folks, there is nothing greater than life with Jesus. There isn't. I go throughout and look at the last couple of years with COVID, and I am so thankful that I have a faith in God that he is in control and he will see me through. I am so thankful that I don't weep at the loss of those who've died around me without hope of knowing where they are, and someday I'll see them again. folks, what this world has to offer us is nothing, nothing, nothing compared to what God has for us. And he deserves all of me. It says, he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. The Roman world was familiar with crosses. You know, we think of a cross, we think of someone's little fancy jewelry they have, or the Roman roads were often lined with crosses of the enemies of Rome to show it as an example. They knew that the cross meant death, and we are told to take up our cross. We are told to die to ourselves daily and give our lives to him. And it is something I have to do every day. It's not about me. It's not about me. Lord, help me to love you. Die to myself, my own desires, my own passions. And Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do with my life? What do you want me to do with my finances? What do you want me to do with my stuff? What do you want me to do with the breath I live? Lord, what do you want me to do? It's all yours. Because in it, what we gain is so much more than what we lose. I hope you believe that. Take this world and give me Jesus. Because if you have him, you have everything you need. Amen? The Bible says, he who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of water in my name, in the name of a disciple, surely I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. And the point here is, we all have a part. And you say, well, I'll never get up and preach. Well, I'll never be in your shoes. But we all participate in our part. And as we all play a part in the kingdom of God, we have a reward for that. Even down to a small cup of water in Jesus' name. A simple act of kindness in his name means so much. So as we wrap up this chapter, I know it's been a lot, and I appreciate your patience. But Jesus gives us this full disclosure. Look, there is a cost to discipleship. It may cost us our friends. It may cost us our place in this world. It may cost us money and jobs and all these things. But what he reassures us in here is that you have him. And I'd rather have all of Jesus than all of this world. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, in here, you warn us in this world we will have tribulation and we will have trouble. Lord, there will be conflict for your name's sake, Lord. There are people who do not like you, do not like your message, therefore will reject us. But even so, Lord, help me to serve you. Help me to keep your eyes on you, to do what you want me to do. Let me ask this in your name. Amen.